you've found my fruit and vegetables, and you've learned where all these things come from. I wonder if you found that a surprise. I look at those things and I think, wow, isn't God generous that he's given us all these wonderful things? He could have just given us carrots to eat and that would have been it. But God, in his generosity, has given us so many wonderful things. So that's what we're thinking about today. But here's the question. These are gifts from God. How should we think about God's good gift? Well, we're going to do some signing, and it's going to help us, and we're going to have a little prayer that we're going to say through the next few minutes. So if we can have that up on the screen, the phrase, which says, God, help us to look after your gifts. So we're pointing to God, help us to look after your gifts. And the first thing we see from our psalm reading is that every good gift belongs to God. Let me read verse 1 again. It says, the world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who live on it are his. So the psalm says two different things. It says the world belongs to God and all the things in it, but it also says that we belong to God too. That everything and everyone is a gift from God. So I want you just to look down at your hands for a moment, if you're able to do that. They are a gift from God. Have a look at the person next to you. They are a gift from God. Have a look out of the window and see all of the trees and the green. That is a gift from God. Everything and everyone is a gift from God. They belong to God. But why do they belong to God? Why don't they belong to me or to you? Well, have a look at verse 2. He, that's God, built it on the deep waters beneath the earth and laid its foundation in the ocean depths. Everything belongs to God because God made everything. Now, on Friday for our toddler group, Tea and Tots, we've been thinking about different things that God has made, and we made a poster, which is just over here at the moment on Friday. Thank you to Chris and the team, and for all the youngsters and their grown-ups who helped make a poster about all the things that God has made in the sea. And the question that we were asking was, what do you enjoy most doing when you're at the seaside? And I asked someone that question, they said having a sleep. But it's a great thing, thinking about the sea. The sea covers two-thirds of the world that we live on. And God made the sea, and God made everything inside it. And we were having fun running around at one point with bubbles going off everywhere, trying to be different animals in the sea, trying to catch all these bubbles. There were crabs, there were octopuses, there were some, I think there were some sharks as well, there were dolphins, there were fish, there were jellyfish, all kinds of animals that God has made. And because God has made them, just like he's made us, we all belong to God. But we are a bit different. You see, the Bible tells us we have a special place in God's creation. We're going to think about that in just a moment. But firstly, let's remember our prayer phrase. So, God, help us to look after your gifts. The second thing we see is that we should put our hope in God and not in those good gifts. Now, that all of the good gifts that God has given us are great. But the Bible tells us, don't put our hope in those things. Put your hope in God. Let's hear a bit the reading that Elliot brought us from 1 Timothy. It says, command those who are rich in the things of this life not to be proud, but to place their hope, not in such an uncertain thing as riches, but in God, who generously gives us everything for our enjoyment. Now, we know it's a truth in the world that we live in that some people have more than others. Generally, where we live, we are very fortunate. We're very blessed. There are lots of other people in the world who don't have as much stuff, who don't know where food's going to come from each day, who don't have enough money at all, or children who can't afford to go to school. We're very blessed. We are relatively rich compared to others. But each of us have different struggles and sometimes bits in life where we can't afford things as well. But some of us might have lots of money, more money than we could possibly know what to do with. But God is saying, don't trust in those things. Don't trust in the good gifts, but trust in the good giver. Because these things change. I mean, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, do you think it's ever likely that we're going to find it hard to buy toilet roll? You say, of course not. No, you go to toilet roll, you go to the supermarket, there's toilet roll everywhere. And then 2020 comes along and think, oh my goodness, I can't find any toilet roll anywhere. We ended up finding some at a local stationery shop, and we were so excited. Think, yes, we found some toilet roll. How exciting. You never have assumed that toilet roll would be hard to get hold of, but it just goes to show us that things in our world, they change. Who would have thought that, hey? We learn not to put our hope in uncertain riches, or even in toilet roll, but in the generous God. Hear what Paul continues to write. He says, command them, this is the people who are wealthy, who have money, like us, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, ready to share with others. In this way, they will store up for themselves a treasure which will be a solid foundation for the future. And then they will be able to win the life which is true life. So the Bible says, be rich in good works. Okay, be rich in good works. It doesn't say be rich in money, be rich in good works. Be generous, share with others. Look forward to a treasure that will last. That's being with God forever. Now, I don't know if you saw on the news this week, but there was a rather famous piece of wedding cake that was sold at auction. I think we've got a picture of it. And the picture on the left-hand side, this was the Queen's wedding cake in 1947. And someone, somewhere, for some reason, decided to keep a slice of it. And that's what it looks like now. I can't remember the exact figure. I think it was over £500 it was sold for. A slice of wedding cake. Now, I don't know about you, but if someone offered me that after church, I think I would have to decline, don't you? 80-year-old cake, even though it was from the Queen's wedding. You see, that shows us that even the most impressive things don't last. I was thinking about that today, actually, because I said we've got our bring and share meal. And a few weeks ago that I would make my favourite sandwich. So a few layers of bacon, some lettuce, some tomato, some mayonnaise in there between two nice thick slices of bread. And I made it a few weeks ago because I wanted to hold on to it and to keep it ready for today. But I'm going to eat it myself, okay? I'm not going to share it. This is my special Tim Super Deluxe sandwich. And I've been keeping it in here, and I thought I'd just show it to you before I... on the other hand, I think I probably should have eaten it at the time, don't you? Unless anyone wants this. And if you haven't brought food with you, well, you can have. I think I might put that in there. It's a bit like the Queen's wedding cake, isn't it? It might have been impressive at the time, but actually holding on to it and treasuring it wasn't the right thing to do, because sandwiches, well, they only last a day and then they're no good. So there's no point holding on to it for a few weeks. But actually, the reading is saying we kind of do that, don't we? We do that with the things that we've been given. We don't use them in the right way. We hold on to them. So that's why we need to pray. So let's pray our phrase again. So, God, help us to look after your gifts. And lastly, Jesus shows us how sharing good gifts works out best. Okay? So how sharing good gifts works out best. Let's have a look at verse 13. A man in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us." Now, I want you to be honest, everyone. Who has ever argued with a sibling or a family member over something? And especially maybe over money or whether something was fair. We all do it, don't we? It was happening 2,000 years ago. It happens today. This is what happened with these two people who came up to Jesus. They were arguing over money, over property. That's not fair. He's got more than I have. I want more than he's got. They want Jesus to sort things out. But Jesus, he tells a story, a parable. It's a story with a meaning. And listen to how it starts, verse 16. Then Jesus told them this parable. There was once a rich man who had land which bore good crops. He began to think to himself, "I haven't anywhere to keep all my crops. What can I do?" It's a good question. You've got lots and lots of crops. What am I going to do with them all? Have a think. Any answers? What could this man have done with all of his crops? He could have shared them, yeah? Any other ideas? I think that's a good one. He shared them, or, yeah, you're going to say something? He could have sold them, yeah? There was more than he needed. He could have done that. He had enough, didn't he? He had more than enough. But look what he does do. This is what I will do, he told himself. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones where I will store my corn and all my other goods. Then I'll say to myself, lucky man, you have all the good things you need for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. He's not sharing it, is he? He's storing up more and more than he'll ever need, so he never needs to worry. He's trusting in these things and not in God and not doing what God wants him to do. But lots of people are like this man. Perhaps you are. Perhaps I am. Lots of people think that's a good idea. We gather more and more and more stuff for ourselves, more than we could possibly ever need, and say, I'll be okay. I've got that to fall back on. People have more stuff than they would ever need. And we think that by having lots of stuff, it will keep me safe and happy. That's what that man was thinking. But verse 20 shows us something quite different. God said to him, you fool, this very night you will have to give up your life. Then who will get all these things you have kept for yourself? If you make treasure your God, you will end up with nothing. If you make treasure your God, you'll end up with nothing. But if you make God your treasure, you'll end up with the best thing. That's what Jesus is saying. If you make treasure your God, you'll end up with nothing. If you make God your treasure, you'll end up with the best thing. You see, Jesus is saying true riches come from being generous. Why? Because God is a generous God. And we see that most clearly. And please think about that when we come forward for communion. The best swap ever. Jesus, the perfect Son of God, swapping for us, sinners, people who have done things that we shouldn't have done, being greedy, being like that man who wanted to build the bigger bonds. Jesus swapped for us. He died on the cross so that we can be part of God's family forever. I want to tell you about a little girl called Katie. Last year, Katie's mum promised her that if she kept her room tidy for a month, she would take her to the toy shop and buy any present that she wanted. Well, Katie, for a long time, has really wanted one of these big squishy animal toys you might have seen. Great big colourful one. She really wanted one of those big squishy animal toys. So they walked along the aisle where all of these toys were, and she noticed firstly the small little squishies, then the slightly bigger ones, then the medium ones, and then the ginormous ones. Yes, Mum, that's the one I want. The big orange animal squishy. So her mum lifted it down, and Katie sort of waddled along, taking it to the queue for the till. And as she was waiting there, she looked down on the floor and she saw a box. And in this box, it only had a couple of little toys, and she asked her mum what it was. And her mum turned to her and said, that's toys for children who wouldn't have any this Christmas. I only had a couple of little things in it, as I said, not much. Katie turned to her mum and said, I don't think I need this big squishy. Why not? Her mum said. I think God wants me to be generous and give something to these children as well. Is it all right if I put this one back and go and get two of the smaller ones? I can still have one, but the other one can go to someone who needs it even more than me. I'm so happy to have this gift from you, but I want someone else to feel that happiness too. I wonder, is God calling us then to be like Katie? Because if you make treasure your God, you'll end up with nothing. But if you make God your treasure, you'll end up with the best thing. So let's finish by doing our phrase, shall we? God, help us to look after your gifts. Amen.